My name's James Tweedy. I'm a journalist. I began in journalism back in 2007 with a job for the Morning Star newspaper in London. I did that for about 2 years. I moved away to Tenerife. I had a very short job trying to publish a supplement, English language supplement for a newspaper like Loot over there, and that didn't last. And I basically started working as teaching English as a second language. We were there for 6 years, and my son was born out there. And then we came back to Britain in 2015 because I got a job back at the Morning Star. I was there for another 2 years. I left. Then I worked for Russia Today when RT, when they were at, they had two floors of offices at Milbank Tower.
Right. So what year was that?
That was in 2018. I started there. And I, what can I say about that? I remember I was on the same floor as Alex Salmond. He used to have a show on there, you know? And he was very nice. Him and his assistant would always say hello. Even though we were brand new, you know, there were three of us who were brand new and we were working there late, but he would come and say hello and stuff like that. You know, so some other people who you might remember when they were broadcasting in the UK were there, like Polly Boyko. She was very nice. She came and said hello once, you see. And later on, that place got shut down because their Ofcom revoked their license. So the company just decided to shut down in the UK. A lot of people lost their jobs, but I'd left long before that. Then I worked for the Mail Online, you know, I was at the Daily Mail's offices, big office on Kensington High Street in London, which is where I used to go to school near there. I went to Holden Park School. So there I was for a few months doing that, but then I moved down to Plymouth, where I am now. Because my wife had got a job down here. In fact, she'd already got the job before I started at the Mail Online. And so, yeah, I came down, you know, but we were waiting for my son to finish his second year at primary school before we came down, and it was his first year, and he would start in year two in a new primary school, and blah, 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 and everything would be more stable and all that sort of thing, everything less disruption. So all good. And then when I moved down here, I was unemployed for a while.
Look, before we go any further, can you just give us an idea of the sort of news stories you were covering and the extent to which you were sourcing this stuff, or were you being handed stories by editors?
Well, when I was at the Morning Star, the first time I was there, I was a reporter, a news reporter on the home news desk. So they'd just give me something and I'd do it. And the second time I was the international editor. So I used to set the agenda, but, you know, the editor would say, I don't like that one, change, get something else, bump something up, you know. RT, they got us to look for stories, but then they would say, no, I don't like that one, find something else. And you'd write it up, but it would be any old stuff. Like, I wrote one about, there was some scandal that there was one airline in the US and a lot of animals that were being transported in the holds of their aircraft were dying. And it was that airline in particular. You know, it's not a political story. It's a consumer story, right? Consumer interest story. It was really general stuff and some economic news and things like that. Sometimes they would give you something, but you had to pitch stuff. And
so how would you rate the various editors at the different places, the Mail, Morning Star, RT?
Well, the Mail, they would just give you something to do, and you were technically a reporter. That was your job title, but you weren't reporting it. You were just editing it. You were being a sub editor, but they were all. Some of them were a bit highly strung because it's a very high stress kind of workplace there, you know. But actually, generally, they were okay. Okay, and you didn't sort of see them really. You didn't see them face to face most of the time. And actually, they were okay as an employer. And the Morning Star, it was a very small place. So everyone's in the same office, and the editors were kind of, the editor and his assistant were very kind of micromanaging things, and it was just a pain actually, So that was something. That's an interesting thing. At the bigger place, at the morning, at the Daily Mail, it was okay because you just sat down and you did your job, and you had no responsibility. But at the Morning Star, they were always changing things, oh my God. So, and then the annoying thing about RT was you've got to pitch the stories, but they don't want to, they'll reject them, and they're not giving you something to do. So that was always a pain. And then that thing, we were supposed to be based in the UK but covering news in the US, right? This is a funny story. This is like a cautionary tale for anyone trying to get into thinking of going into journalism. Learn a trade, be a plumber or something, or an electrician, and you learn twice as much. And it'll be much easier. But basically, we were hired on into this team that was going to be under the editors in Washington, D.C., and but we were based in London, so we had to work through the night, from like 9 at night to 5 in the morning, not five in not 9 in the morning to 5 in the evening, but 9 at night to 5 in the morning. And they I don't think they the editors in D.C. had really approved of this idea, and they resented it. And we had this guy who was supposed to be our editor in London, and he like quit after the first week. He disappeared after the first week, and then someone said he'd just quit. He didn't even tell us he was quitting. And so we it lasted 6 weeks, and we all got the sack basically. So that was a very funny one. But there were a lot of other people working there long term, and it's a shame that they lost their jobs because they were nice people. So then I'm kind of out of work, and then I start doing this stuff, basically self-employed, copy editing, for companies overseas. I'm going to tell you, basically. Had I had a so this is the thing, this is the thing that's been the problem. First, I had a relationship with a company in the US called Gebi LLC, copy editing stuff, and then that ended, and then I got similar work with a company called Al Azria Media Consultancy in Dubai. And I never had a contract with them. It was all sort of just verbally agreed. And I would sit here on my desk at home, which suits me fine. And they will send me stuff, copy, stories, social media posts, almost all of it. And I check it. I like correct spellings and grammar and tidy it all up. So often it's in terrible English. Comes from newsrooms all over the world, like in India and Pakistan. And
So, were you also fact-checking it to make, standing stories up, or, because if it's from social media, it may be bunkum.
well, sometimes I would make a point about that because there was something that was glaringly, obviously wrong, and sometimes I would just quietly change something. Like they would say something that was. They would say something about someone that was on, a famous person that was unsubstantiated and defamatory because they wanted impact. They would sort of insult people, basically, famous people. And I was like, don't do that. It's just bad practice, because you get sued and then the company
Okay,
goes
so I
bust.
mean, you're basically subbing. This isn't part of your job. The idea is you've got to turn it into snappy English rather than questioning
Yeah.
facts.
In theory, all I'm doing is checking the the spelling and the grammar, but I could generally cut a lot of this stuff. I could cut the length in half by writing the sentence using shorter words and not using like weird grammar, passive voice, lot weird it has been something, has been doing something, it did, that sort of thing. Instead of saying it had, he has been eating or he had been eating, I say he ate, and anyway, not that, not those exact words, but that kind of thing. So very, the writers were not first language English speakers. I think they use AI things like ChatGPT to write a lot of it, and it's not their fault. They're not probably not getting paid very much. They've just got these jobs, So all this stuff, and it's all going out on social media, and a lot of it is like it's like very lurid and sensationalist and all that sort of thing. So, but yeah, and crap, trash, rubbish, really. But who cares? It's a living, and at the end of the month, I invoice the company for the same amount every month, and they send me the money to my account. And that went on with this company, Al Azria, for about 15 months. And then Al Azria said, "Well, we're moving things from Dubai to Lebanon. Is that a problem?" And I said, "Well, I don't, as far as I can tell, I don't think it is, because they're going to do it anyway, right? That's what they're going to do. So I don't think it is. I mean, Lebanon is not on." Later, I worked out that, I found out that there is a list of companies you're not allowed, countries that you're not allowed to get payments from, right? Like Russia and North Korea and Iran, the usual suspects, right? But Lebanon isn't on that list. And then there was some talk about this being involved with a new company, although that didn't, I'll get into that later. A new company, well, not a new company, a very established company that runs something called the Voice of Lebanon Radio, right? And so then I was waiting for my money to come in, and it was late, and I sort of emailed the accounts people, and they said, "Oh, sorry, we were supposed to send it at the start of the month, but someone forgot to do it, and we sent it on the 25th of February instead of the 1st of February." And I was like, "Okay, how long is it going to take?" "Oh, a week." "Okay, as usual." "Okay." And then a week goes by and it's still not there. And I'm emailing them again. So I phone my bank and I say, "Is there a problem? What's going on? This, I'm expecting this money. It hasn't come in. Someone else who invoiced, they said someone else had got their money. So why haven't I got my money?" So I phone the bank and the bank says, "No. Can't see anything there, nothing's frozen, nothing's, blocked, whatever." And then 5 days later, on March the 9th, I get an email from the account review team at my bank, which is Nationwide Building Society. And it says, "We need to know about this." Let's see what they bring it up here. "We need to talk to you about a payment sent to your account ending blah 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 for a certain this amount of money sent on 3rd of March 2026 from Al Azria Media Consultancy." Then now they're saying it's 4th March. I don't know. Anyway, "And can you please confirm the purpose of this payment? If it relates to employment, please can you provide evidence such as invoices and evidence of work?"
Okay, so look, just hang on a sec, because Lebanon is not supposed to be sanctioned. I wonder whether there's something going on behind the scenes saying, well, or someone is whispering in the ear of your bank saying, ah, this could be Hezbollah terror money.
Well, okay. Well, the irony was that the new company, well, the company that I hadn't been invoicing before, and now they wanted me to invoice, is a company which it's called the Société Moderne d'Information, the Modern Information Society, or the Modern, Media Society, and it's one of the owners of It's one of the shareholders in the Voice of Lebanon Radio, which is well established, and website. And it's owned by members of the Kataeb Party, which are the Christian Lebanese Christians. The Kataeb Party is also known as the Falange Party, and it's really like on the opposite. They're no friends of Hezbollah, let's say that, right? They're on the opposite side of politics from Hezbollah in Lebanon. There's a thing. Okay, that is not really the issue though. So they asked me for they say if it's for employment, so they knew it was for employment, you know, can you provide evidence like invoices? So I sent them an invoice. I sent them the invoice that I just sent. And then, because there'd been this problem about the payment, they'd sent me a slip, a photo of a bank slip for the payment, and it corresponds. It makes reference to the invoice. It's got the invoice number on it, and the amount, and what it's for. Right. So I send them that, and I sent them some more stuff. I sent them some screenshots of things, you know, but then let's see, they basically, yeah, okay, and then so they asked me why there's been a change in origin in the origins of the funds, and I said, well, that's they just told me that was going to happen, sorry, you know, that's it. I don't really understand it either. I don't know why they did it, right? So I cooperated. You know, these seem like fairly innocent questions, so I cooperated. And then let's see. Then I get more emails. I get another one on the 12th. And then, oh yeah, there'd been another payment from the same company, right? And they were asking the same questions. And, you know, so I answered the same question. I gave them the same answer. And then they keep asking these. They keep asking these questions, right? You know, I did get a contract with this Société Moderne d'Information, which is like a first in the world of being self-employed and, you know, doing work online for people. That was like that was actually astounding, you know. It's a very informal relationship, right? And so then later on, they say something to me like, right, well, you know, I don't hear from them for a while. And I went into the, well, okay, just after that first thing, I went into the branch. I had to do some stuff in town on a Saturday. I had my son with me, and I went into the branch and I asked to speak to the manager at the Plymouth branch of Nationwide. Now, his name, it turns out, is Nathan Yates, although they didn't tell me that, but I didn't speak to him. I didn't get to speak to him. I spoke to someone called Josh. And I said to Josh, well, I'm here and I'm showing you that I'm a bona fide real person. I live in the city and blah, 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 right? I'm not like someone who's just opened an account from overseas and is like, you know, controlling it online and stuff and moving, you know, moving money in and out. And I said, you can also see, because you're all in my accounts now, snooping around, that I get this money. It's a small amount of money every month. It's £2,400. It's not a lot. And you can see where I spend it. I spend it, you know, I pay my council tax and other bills and I buy food from the supermarket, right? And this is my son, my 13-year-old son, I said, and you know, here he is, and I have to look after him. I'm actually a single parent now. And you know, I said, what's this all about? Can you tell me what it's about? And he said, no, we can't tell you what it's about. You know, we can't tell you why we're doing this, because if we tell people, they will you know, they'll if you tell people why we're blocking payments and messing around with their account and stuff, and they'll avoid it. Thinking, well, if someone was a criminal, they would have avoided it already. They would, they'd be gone, right? All the money would be out of the account, and they'd be away, and you'd never hear from them again, right? They wouldn't be coming into the branch. And
Well, the question arises, whose account is it?
well, it's my account.
Yes, but it's their account at their bank.
Their bank.
It seems that the banks are sort of thinking, well, actually, this is our money now. This is our account at our bank, and we
Yeah.
will do what we want with it.
Exactly. Some people have been debanked, so they've had their accounts closed without any real reason being given to them. Usually they're kind of famous people. Well, a lot the ones you hear about are famous people like Nigel Farage, right? But maybe it happens to ordinary people too.
Well, it's particularly been happening over the pro-Palestinian supporters. In fact, there
Okay.
have been several famous, well-documented cases of individuals who've been in various different ways pro-Palestinian,
Yeah.
having their bank accounts pulled away, just literally being told, you're no longer banking here.
Yeah. A few years ago, there was an issue where the Cuban embassy has a, it runs a, like a, there's a Cuban tourist board. They have a company here, and I think it works really, really as part of the embassy. And they had an account with Co-op Bank, I think it was, and so did the embassy and the consulate and things like that. So they had their accounts, they were doing their banking with them. And because the US has sanctions on Cuba, and because it tries to, the USA tries to impose those sanctions extraterritorially, for instance, by saying, you can't, if you do business with this country that's sanctioned, then you can't do business with us in the US, and all this, and threatening people with lawfare and things like that. So Co-op Bank shut their accounts because the Cuba Solidarity Campaign had a big thing about that, and they would, we have normal relations with Britain. The UK has normal relations with Cuba. Prince Charles, as he was then, went there on a state visit on behalf of the Queen a few years ago, right? That's how normal it is. You can get on a tourist flight to Cuba from the UK, and things like that. And the UK does probably some limited business with Cuba, and we have an embassy. We have embassies in each other's countries, you see. But okay, that's that kind of example. I'm not the Cuban embassy, right? I'm not a country. I'm just a private citizen. So let me get this back on track. So then I'm sort of complaining, and they're saying, yeah, well, we can see it's locked. Okay, we can see this thing is done, right? So, and he sort of says to me, I think you should probably open a bank, an account with another bank, and I should have done it then and transferred all my money out. I should have listened to his warning. But anyway, the emails I got from the account review team were, they weren't signed with, there was no name on them. It just says the account review team. There's no telephone number and there's no address. And you just had to reply by email. So I made a complaint about them waiting 5 days or 6 days between the money arriving and emailing me, and creating a problem. And, they gave me a phone number to call them. They've emailed me and gave me a phone number after that. I got £100 out of the bank, by the way, for that. That was my compensation. And so I phoned it and I spoke to some people, but they weren't actually in the office where the I spoke to a lady called Neve and a man called Canvey or something. I'm not sure how to spell his name. And but they weren't actually in the office. They were working from home and like fielding the calls. And anyway, they after a couple of calls, they said, first they got an email saying, we don't need any more evidence from you. So I thought, okay. And then 2 weeks pass, and I haven't heard anything. So I phone up, and they say, "Well, we can't really tell you anything, but I'll ask them to write you an email." So they write me an email, saying nothing, saying, "Oh yeah, we're still looking into it." Blah blah blah, and I'm like, "When's this going to end? You know, I just want my money. You know, that's my wages. I can't be blocking it all the time, right?" And then, I get on. Right, on 17th of April, right? This is more than a month down the line. A few days after this email saying, "Yeah, we're just looking into it," on a Friday at 5:45, which is more than an hour after their phone lines have shut and after they are officially closed, their office is officially closed anyway, I get this email saying, "We've frozen your accounts." That's the subject line. And, you know, and then they start asking about some other payment from, you know, because I was getting, you know, I'm looking for work elsewhere, right? So I'm getting a payment from someone else. And out of the blue, they've frozen my account, right? I didn't even notice that email until the evening of the next day, because I don't check my emails that often nowadays.
Well, this is what they've been doing with Russian assets, isn't it?
Well, I don't know what they've been doing.
But with the case of the Russians, it's billions of dollars, you know. But
Okay.
they seem to
They
be
talk
doing the
about
same
things
for
like
you.
there's some businessman and he owns a house in Belgravia or somewhere, or he's got a yacht that's tied up, massive yacht that's tied up in a British port, and then they sort of seized it by some. I don't know what the legal means are, right? What they say, anyway, basically what they've been saying is this is about our legal and regulatory responsibilities. And I asked them this question: what laws and what regulations are you applying? And they're like, "We can't tell you that, you know." Right. So then on the Monday after that, I get that email on the Friday. On the Monday after that, I go drive into town. My son goes off to school and I drive into town and they go in the branch again and I speak to this guy, Josh Hoskins. Josh, by the way, wears a badge that just says Josh, but I overheard him talking to someone and saying his name was Hoskins. So you snooze, you lose, Josh. Right. You know, you have failed to disguise your name. So I'm very, at this point, I'm very, I've got like about 150 quid, £140 in cash on me, and that's all the money I've got in the world. And I had to search
But
around
are
for a
you
place
actually
where I can.
getting, sorry, but you actually starting to get angry with them? Because, I mean, it seems to me that they're just playing about.
Yeah, I was very angry. I was probably quite unkind
Did you, I
unkind
mean,
to
were
Josh.
you shouting at them on the phone, this sort of thing?
No, well, I mean, I was getting a bit. He, I did try not to shout, but I was a bit tetchy with them. So he gets me on the phone to this office, the account review team, and finally, I speak to someone in the office. You know, and I said, "What's?" She says, "What's?" You know, "What's your name?" I say. She says, "Hannah," and I said, "Hannah, what? What's your surname?" You know, because this is something I do at work as well. You know, like. People keep getting referred to by their surnames, not their
Yeah,
first
well,
name.
no, this is the way professionals deal with each other.
Yeah. So I say, "What's your surname?" She says, "I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to tell you that." And I was like, "Well, you know my name. It's James Tweedy. You know, you're in my account." And you know, and again, so this is where I get this story about, you know, oh, it's our regulatory and legal responsibility. What laws and regulations? Oh, I can't tell you that. Why not? You know, and then she hints that it's something to do with sanctions, right? And then, so, okay, and I said, "Well, is Al Azria Media Consultancy, this company that you're worried about. Is that on a, I said, first he said, am I sanctioned? Am I sanctioned as an individual? And she said, no. And I said, is Al Azria sanctioned? And she says, I can't tell you that. So anyway, I finish up there and I go home, you know, after about an hour of hour or two of arguing with them. And I go home and I get on the internet and I look in the UK sanctions list, you know, which it's on, it's on something called, it's on the Foreign Office website, you know, there's a sanctions list, you know, and then they, let's see, so then I look for Al Azria, that's not there, right? I look for my name, that's not there. I look for, you know, and I look for some other other companies that we're talking about, Société Moderne d'Information, right? And this new, you know, all this sort of thing, you know. This new company in South Africa that I'm doing some work for. And they're not on the list. So I'm like, what's all this about? Okay. And I start going through, like, because I used to work for RT and I used to do unpaid guest appearances on Press TV, which is based in the UK, which has, you know, it has a company in the UK. It has a studio near where I used to live in London, very close to where I used to live in London. So I checked that out. They're not banned. They're not on the sanctions list, you know. And then, you know, so there are very few people on that sanctions list. Anyway, so they, I'm sorry to be going on so long. Then they send me this email. They send me an email saying, "Do you have? We want you to show us that you have the right to do something for these, to do work for these companies. Do you have an OFSI account? Do you have a license from OFSI?" And I was like, "What's OFSI?" Right? And so I go and look up what is OFSI, and OFSI is the Office for Foreign Sanctions or Financial Sanctions in Implementation. Right? And so this is in a later email from them after they've frozen my accounts. And this is a government agency, and apparently you can get a license from them to do business with a sanctioned entity. And they also have a list on there. It's the same as the Foreign Office list. And so I go through the list, and Al Azria isn't on it. And so I go back to them, and neither is Société Moderne d'Information. So I go back to them and say, "Well, no, I don't have that license." This is my response, my reply. But I, you know, I don't have that license. But I don't need it, do I? Because I'm not invoicing, the companies I'm invoicing are on the sanctions list anyway. What would be the point of it? Blah, blah, blah. What's it all, you know, and they're still not telling me what it's all about. And I do some more complaining to another department, but they stonewall me. By this point, I've got my trade union, the National Union of Journalists, involved, and they've been very good. They've been very helpful. They've got someone who's helping me deal with, you know, write emails and things to Nationwide. And the local branch has even given me a grant of money, which I intend to pay back as soon as I can. And I opened an account with an online bank, and I'm not going to say which one for security reasons. But so I am surviving, right? My son receives, I've managed to get, my son gets disability living allowance because he's diagnosed as autistic. And the money I've received for that in the past is part of the savings in my Nationwide accounts, my two accounts with them, which total about £35,000, which I can't get at. I'm getting his benefits and his child benefit and his DLA paid into my new account. That's all right. I've had help from my mother and a friend, and so I'm very grateful for that. But Yeah, I mean, a difficult financial position because of what the bank has done, and I've explained that to them over and over ad nauseum that they're causing this hardship, and they won't even respond to that. Now, late then, the final part, I suppose, is on yesterday, on Wednesday. I got a letter from Nationwide from the accounts review team dated Tuesday. And it says, we have frozen your payments. Payments, right? Two payments from Al Azria Media Consultancy with dates. Dates seem to have changed a little bit. And they add up to £4,946. These are frozen. So the representative at the National Union of Journalists said, "Well, write back to them and say, thank you very much, for clarifying that." Right? The reason they give, by the way, in this is, I'm jumping the gun. Right. The two payments credited to your account from Al Azria Media Consultancy are connection with journalistic services that you provided to RIA Novosti, a media brand of Rossiya Sigodnya. Rossiya Sigodnya is a UK designated entity subject to an asset freeze. Okay. That is correct that Rossiya Sigodnya is on the list. I'm not going to comment on that allegation except to say that they haven't provided me any proof that Al Azria is, whatever I did for Al Azria was for Rossiya Sigodnya, ultimately.
Well, I mean,
RIA Novosti.
isn't it? I mean, the obvious thing to wonder here is, are the Russians using this? I think, isn't it actually a Saudi company?
It was in Dubai.
Oh, right. Okay. A
It may
Dubai
have been.
company, they may be sort of basically laundering the money.
I don't know. I'm not going to comment on
And
that. I've got.
who is the work you're doing ultimately for? Where is it published?
Like I said, it goes on accounts on Telegram. Let's see. One is called. What's it called? Geopolitics something. It's got some, grandmasters of geopolitics.
I mean, this is the obvious explanation here. Maybe they're right. Maybe this company you're working for is doing work for the Russians. But ultimately, they need to be really showing evidence for that. I
Yeah,
mean,
they have. I mean, I know what they're saying, but okay, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not gonna give them their. I'm not gonna give them evidence to use against me, and I'm not gonna. They've been fishing for it, by the way, very obviously. And for instance, they asked me for links of work, so I sent them stuff, links to Grandmasters of Geopolitics Telegram group, and then they said, "Oh, those links are no good," or something. That's not good enough evidence. I was like, "This is stuff I've done," and we'd already explained that. The representative from the NUJ and I had already explained that. I don't have a contract. I've just got a verbal agreement, but that's legally binding with
So,
this company.
what's now happening to this 5 grand or so?
Well, the 5 grand is in limbo. It didn't never went into my account. There's still £35,000 in my account, right? Which, as far as I know, I can't get to. So this email was, how and when am I going to be able to get that, to access that money, since you're saying you're only freezing this 5 grand or something,
So I mean,
right?
the implication is they think maybe this is what's. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on in the silly offices of the account review group of the Nationwide. They're
Yeah,
just saying,
apparently.
"Oh, look, we think maybe this is work that James is doing for this Dubai company, but the Dubai company is also working for the Russian company, and maybe that there's been previous payments that have come from Russia to Dubai into James's account."
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna comment on that for obvious reasons, because I'm not gonna say anything
I'm just trying to
that they're gonna
speculate as
use
to
as
what might be
evidence.
going on in up at Nationwide. This is, because they're not being straight with you, are they?
Right. Well, someone else, there are other people getting paid like this, and they haven't had problems. So I have a suspicion that someone might, someone has it in for me and knows what I do and has like gone and told the bank, right? That's one suspicion. I don't know if that's the case, but it's a possibility, right? But generally speaking, their position, as set out in this letter, is that their concern is about two payments that both came in March, which have not been paid into my account, or they are frozen. So why then is my account still frozen? Why my two accounts that I have with them? Why can't I access that money? Why can't I access my savings? You see, I've offered them a compromise. Say, look, just close my account and give me the money, and you'll never hear from me again. Not your problem anymore. They didn't really respond to, I spoke to someone on the phone, not from the account review team, but from the general complaints team. The lady was Emily Draper is her name. And she said, well, that might be possible, but then she's like gone quiet about that one.
She's now
I think
gone.
I suggested that they just return the payments if they don't like them, but they're holding on to the money.
Have you spoken to Al Azraya people?
Yeah, basically, they can't really help me. That's the problem.
Well, they're saying, well, listen, we paid you, man. It's up to you to deal with your bank.
Yeah, and they keep saying, well, why don't you just get them to give the money back, send the money back to us and unblock your account? And I'll say, well, yeah, I did suggest that,
But
They don't
what
understand
this
it.
has ended
They
up
don't
with
seem
is
to understand
basically
it,
you being sanctioned by the Nationwide Bank, your 40 grand of yours being grabbed by them, which is not
Yeah.
theirs, and you're being told nothing about why it's being kept and if you're ever going to get it back.
Well, they have told me, finally, but they're not, yeah, exactly. I don't know when I'm going to get it back, if at all. I saw a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago that I hadn't seen for a while. And I told him about this. My account's been frozen. He said, yeah, that happened to a friend of mine too, actually. He had the same name as an international drug dealer or something, and they thought that, they didn't check whose account it was. They just saw the name on the account and froze it. And then, I sent him a message later on, like saying, a few days later, saying, "You never told me how your friend got that his account unfrozen." He said, "Well, I don't know if he did. I think he just, it's just he lost access to that account for good."
Well, so this is nationwide stealing money then, potentially.
Yes, definitely. On the justification that they're doing the government's work or something, imposing sanctions. But without, let's say, what I haven't had, and I'm quite glad of this, is a visit or a phone call from our friends in blue, right? I don't, so, but it is not, what that means is it's not yet, to my knowledge, a criminal matter. They might be talking to the police and, getting them onto me or something, but, I don't know that, and let's wait and see if that's the case. I hope not. But I mean, I haven't been convicted of anything, any crime, but I can't get my money. I have to tell my son there's things we can't do anymore because I don't have a lot of money, and stuff like that. It makes me feel a little bit ashamed, actually.
Well, you could even be to the bit get to the point where, you're not able to pay rent or mortgage or whatever. This
Yeah,
could put
exactly. I mean,
somebody.
that initially, I think things are a bit better now, but initially it was like, how am I going to pay my bills? Because my bills are not going to get paid out of the frozen account. All the direct debits on it,
Now,
they
what about? I
fail.
mean, the obvious thing to do, seems to me, is to talk to your MP.
Well, I haven't done that yet, I'm afraid. I should probably should do. I think he's new. He's a bit of a Tim Nice but Dim type, but I should get on to him. I have been quite busy, and there are other things that I could do, which is the complaint that I made another complaint about the fact that it was causing hardship, the account freeze was causing hardship to my family, right? And they sent me back a response fairly quickly, basically closing down the complaint, saying there's nothing we can do.
Right. Well, I mean, this is what I mean. I would just in a general sense say the complaints systems over the last probably 5, 10 years over the on all sorts of
Yeah.
utilities, public sector related, anything, including, I mean, I'd say here with my housing association, for example, certainly with our local authority, there is no real complaint system internally. They just reject it. I'm talking here. I mean, I do quite a few freedom of information requests, and I'm finding that they're just refused, but with, automatically. And you
Well,
have to go to the information commissioner if you want to get them lent on to actually obey the law. So
right.
maybe that's the same with the Nationwide. They see the internal complaints process as really just a tick box affair where they can say we were right.
Well, look, what this Emily Draper, who answered that complaint, did was that she shut it down. She sort of closed it, and she said you could go to the banking ombudsman if you want in the email, which is the thing that you have to have. You have to have an email or a letter from them mentioning the banking ombudsman before you can go to the banking ombudsman, because they won't do it. And then it takes about 8 weeks for the banking ombudsman to deal with it. So I can go to the ombudsman now. I need to get that done. Let's have a look. Let's have a look. The frozen funds cannot be released to you without a license from HM Treasuries, Her Majesty's Treasury, His Majesty's Treasury Office of Financial Sanctions Implementation, OFSI. Details of how you can apply for the license can be found there, blah, blah, blah. Right? Once OFSI has granted you a license, I don't know whether to try and do that. I have a feeling it might be very expensive. I have a feeling that my position is that is still that, as far they haven't proven to me that Al-Azraeer is Rossiya Sayonnia in disguise. So I don't know. My position might still be that I don't need it. That's apparently one way out. I don't know if it's a trap. I don't know if it's something that's just going to be impossible. It's just a waste of time. You know what I mean?
You've got to give
But
it a go, though, just like the MP. I think the thing is also, of course, these people see that this is just a cost of doing business. It's almost like that they can do this and there's no consequences for them. And then down the line, they might just give you your money. You might even actually get some compensation for a wrong decision. You might also be able to do, I would suggest, a claim at the county court against the bank. There's another method of getting your money back. But I mean, the banking ombudsman, I notice in 2024, they had a 10-year high in the complaints that they're getting, about a 20% rise every year at the moment in complaints to the financial ombudsman. The banks are clearly getting away with it, doing this sort of thing.
The banks are doing the work of the government. They're acting like the way these guys have been acting is that they don't, they're very, they've got no transparency. There's no, you don't know where they're based, even if they're based in one of Nationwide's offices at all. They don't give you, they'll give you a first name but not a surname. There's no address. There's a phone number, but usually you speak to someone who's out of the office who passes on your message. I'm not 100% sure whether I'm actually talking to someone who works for the bank or whether I'm talking to someone from OFSI, that they keep referring to.
So who is this OFSI?
Well, OFSI, like I say, is the Office of Financial Sanctions Implementation as part of the Treasury, right? And, I don't know if they're the police. And what they do is these guys also, they keep asking the same questions over and over. And I'm like, you've already asked that question. I'm going to keep asking it. Like they, to look for inconsistencies in your answers, right? So, and that's a police interrogation tactic. You see, so they've acted in bad faith, I think. They asked me for proof of work. I sent them links to this, social media thing, Telegram channel. They said that's not good
Well,
enough.
it
They then
sounds to me as if they're
sent
just
the link.
messing you around, James. They've already decided he's not having his money, and he can jump through a few hoops to make him think that he's going through some sort of proper process. But actually, we've just decided, this is actually appalling way. It's like a abusive behavior.
It is. It's a mockery, you know. And then, of course, the first email they sent to me said, "Thank you for being a member, by the way, member with a capital M, because when you have an account with Nationwide, because it's one of the last proper building societies, you are a member and you're basically a shareholder of some sort. And we get a vote in the AGM every year, which I've never followed with, but and at the end of this, it says, if you're not happy, you can make a complaint. And, here's the website for the web address for that. And we're here to help, it says, as well. Okay. And thank you.
But
You've
it
been very
doesn't say
helpful
there anywhere,
in
does it?
offering
We're here
this.
to steal your money. No, does it?
No, exactly. So it's entirely arbitrary. And what I would say to people is, I wish I'd had a few thousand pounds in cash in my drawer at home, right, in my bedside table before this. And I would advise you to probably have that. There's some report on the news that people, there was a news report I read that people are doing that. The banks are probably worrying. The Bank of England is probably worrying that they're going to have to print more notes. More bank notes. Because people are taking money out and not spending it. They're squirreling it away and they're hoarding stuff, hoarding toilet paper and tins of beans and stuff, good for those people. Well done you. Keep it up. Hoard some more. Take some more cash out. Also, have multiple bank accounts. Spread your money about between them, right? There are some online banks which have a reputation for being the Wild West and have been fined for, although they are regulated like every other bank in this country, they have been fined for not doing enough to stop money laundering. Put your money in those banks. That's what I'm going to say.
Why?
And and keep banking with your normal bank if you
No,
want.
why would you want to put your money in, and which banks are you being done for money laundering? That sounds like a bizarre thing to say.
Yes, exactly. There are some you can read about it. You can read about what banks have been done for money. Like they've been fined for not doing enough to stop money laundering. I don't know if they even, it's a fine from a regulator. I'm not sure they actually have to prove anything legally. But, maybe they're not snooping around in their customers' accounts enough for the regulator, the banking regulator, to be happy with. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. But all of them are regulated by the same people, and all of them could potentially do it to you see. So I don't know if one is better or worse than the other. My experience with Nationwide has been very bad. And if I get the opportunity, I'm not banking with them because my account is frozen. If I get it unfrozen, I'm going to take all the money out and they're not going to see it. They're not going to hear from me again. But I wouldn't trust any other bank in particular anymore because they probably have the same departments who are doing the
Well,
same.
you may be onto something here because I noticed in December last year, Nationwide was fined 44 million for failures in financial crime. So it may be that they're now doing everything they can to prove themselves to the Financial Conduct Authority. Barclays has been fined $56 million. Metro Bank was fined $17 million. Santander UK has been fined $108 million after they say money laundering failings, but it may be it's that they're simply stopping people's bank accounts in this country. This is what the regulators want them to do, is they to do th do to punish people like they're trying to do to you.
An uncle of mine, he passed away last week, but he used to be like a regional manager for Barclays, you know? Barclays is like, is one of those banks that's like the epitome of the British establishment, you know? So why are they fining Barclays of all people? Barclays was like one of the only banks. I used to bank with Barclays before I went away to live in Tenerife. And Barclays, another bank was Santander, but Santander over there is different from here, you know. Santander over here took over Bradford and Bingley and continued the dodgy practices at Bank Bradford and Bingley. But Barclays is, you know, was one of the only banks that didn't need a bailout in 2008 during the credit crunch because they hadn't been as irresponsible as all the others, you know. Anyway, so oh well, they get a fine because they're not, they're probably doing exactly what they need to do. I don't doubt that Barclays is, you know, carrying out its responsibilities, but obviously this is some sort of like hammer that they're putting on people. Go through their accounts, snoop, see if there's the money coming in from abroad. There must be a lot of people who are self-employed, right? There are a lot of people who are self-employed, and they shouldn't be self-employed. They should be employed by the company. They work for one company all the time. That company should employ them directly, right? But they're running their little businesses. You know, I do my tax returns, by the way. You know, I do my tax self-assessment, you know, which is a pain in the, it's a bit of a pain, right, to have to do it, but I do it. It's not too complicated for me. It must be much more complicated for people with lots of, you know, money going in and money going out, unlike me, to do with their business. But there are a lot of people doing that. And, you know, my father told me that another one of my uncles, you know, not Uncle Alex who passed away, but another one, used to do some work like that for a company that, you know, like he was teaching people in China online, you know, teaching them to speak English or something. Or I think he's a chemistry teacher or something, but you know, I don't know, maybe he was teaching them chemistry, but in English or something. And he doesn't do it anymore or something. But you know, so he's doing that. He's dealing, you know, there are apps that you can download on your phone where you will be teaching someone in, could be any part of the world, how to speak English, and you get paid some money. And I looked at it, and it was just the money was terrible. And you know, you have to be available all the time, and you know, you have to be ready to do a class. And it's like, you know, you get no, you don't get any preparation time or whatever. And it was a terrible business, and I had a job anyway, or you know, I could get a job anyway. I think I might have been unemployed, but you know, I was better off being on the dole, really. You know, but there's an app. There are apps you can download onto your phone to do that. You know, there's people, there's men and women on OnlyFans taking their clothes off and getting paid by OnlyFans that, you know, from abroad or something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that would be a great way of money laundering. You know, you pay, you're subscribed to some, you know, porno account, you know, from one country, and the money goes into an account in another country and then gets transferred to an account here, and it gets paid into your account. If you wanted to launder money, that's how you do it. Doesn't actually have to be anything on your OnlyFans account. There could be one video review, like, picking your nose or something, right? You see what I mean? There's a million ways of doing of moving, like getting paid online for some sort of work or not work, and millions of people are doing it, and we live in this, they call it a gig economy or whatever, or a digital economy or whatever. Everyone's working from home, for people in other countries. And, why pick on me? Sorry.
I mean, the
You know,
thing
or are
is,
they picking on everyone?
it may be happening to other people too. We just don't
Yeah.
know about it. Obviously, there is some pressure from within these banks after these fines to sort of find somebody to clamp down on it. It may be that they're just fishing around for all sorts of money that's
Yeah.
coming from places like Lebanon, etc., or Dubai, thinking, oh, well, look, let's look at this. Looks a bit dodgy. He's only small. We can just, and at the end of the day, who are these enforcers again? Because it sounds to me as if they may be just simply working for the Financial Conduct Authority. They seem to be actually.
That's what I'm saying. They don't give you that. They give you a first name, which might not be real anyway, and no surname, so you don't know who they are. And they don't have a postal address, or an office address. They don't even have a post office box. They definitely don't give you a like an office address to come and see them. I'm not suggesting anyone should hire a bulldozer and drive it through the lobby, but maybe they're afraid that someone might, but they yeah, it's all very shady, and I don't know if they even work for the bank. That's what I'm that's like you say, they could be working, yeah, exactly, they could be working for the fraud squad or the Financial Services Authority or OFSI, the
And
agency, the
there's
government
another
agency,
side to
whatever
all
they
of
are.
this, of course, and that is that the massive drugs, illegal arms and drugs deals are still going on. That money is being laundered through the banks like HSBC, as it always has been. So this is just really tinkering around the fringes.
Yeah, I know, exactly. A lot of them are notorious,
You're seen as low-hanging fruit, I think, James.
Yeah, and it's bullying, and it's all this sort of thing. That they said that they had all the evidence they wanted, and they would just get back to me. They were just looking over it, and they would get back to me, and then they froze my account, and they put me in a terrible situation, and then started asking more questions that they hadn't asked before,
I mean,
as well as
one
the old
positive
technique.
thing we can actually say at the end here, at least, is for anybody that notices something suspicious going on with their account, if you had your time again with the Nationwide, in this case, messing you about, lying to you, just twisting the facts and gaslighting you effectively, what would you have done, and what was the first warning sign?
Well, I mean, they sent me this message saying they were blocking that payment, and at that point, I should have just taken all my money out of the accounts, opened another account somewhere else, and moved it all into those, into that account, and then opened a third account and put half of that money in the third account. You know what I mean?
Well, this is, yeah, I mean, this is crazy, isn't it? To people, for people to have to do this sort of thing. Anyway, look, I know you
Yeah, I
will,
didn't want to
but
do it. I didn't want to do it because I'd been with Nationwide for 11
oh, your
years.
loyalty. Oh, well, I'm loyal to the bank.
Yeah,
So nice.
but also because it was just a huge pain in the ass. I got so many direct debits on that account, and I don't want to have to move them over to another account. I
Oh,
mean,
don't be lazy next
yeah.
time. That's a, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think if anything like this happens, I would just warn listeners immediately, and also let your friends know immediately. Take the money. If the bank starts messing you around, just take your money out of the account immediately. That seems to
Yeah,
be a
exactly.
lesson here. And also, James, I'd really like to keep going with this tale, and let us know how you get on and if there are any updates.
Thank you very much, Tony. I will do. Good luck to all of you out there who are listening. Keep some cash. I should have done that.
And
Keep a
don't let the
handy
satanic
pen while I
banksters
stay in your house.
don't
Sorry,
let
Tony.
the don't let the satanic banksters get you down.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. They're all as bad as each other. Nationwide has all these adverts saying that they're the most ethical bank in Britain, and they're never going to close any of their branches. Well, didn't need to close any branches. It didn't matter that I have the local branch, because the some faceless people in an
Well, they
office
did.
somewhere.
They said that, and then they closed the branch in Kingswood in Bristol.
Did they?
And also the Nationwide, they say they're not going to close any branches, but they never said, did they, that we're going to lock them and not open them.
There you go.
Sneaky so-and-sos. Anyway, James Tweedy, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tony.